Welcome to episode 9 of the Pianofortissimo podcast. I'm Alexandra Silocea, and today we're diving deep into a topic that resonates with many musicians: handling stress, stage fright, and finding balance in a demanding career. Our guest is Mariela Bruckner, an experienced psychotherapist and coach who has worked extensively with artists and performers. She combines her knowledge of life balance and stress management with a unique perspective on the specific challenges that creative professionals face. Mariela Bruckner has nearly 20 years of experience teaching at the University of Music and Performing Arts in Vienna, where she works with students at the Institute for Cultural Management, where we also met and worked together a couple of years ago. She also trains groups in social skills and runs her own practice in Vienna's 9th district. She's passionate about her work and finds great meaning in helping people manage life's challenges and enjoy it more fully. You can learn more about her, her background, and her services on her website. Welcome to Piano Fortissimo, the podcast where the world of classical music meets personal stories and professional insights. I'm your host, Alexandra Silocea, concert pianist and bossa nova artist for over 2 decades. Join me as we explore the intricacies of music careers, the artistry behind pianos and other instruments, dive deep with special guests from all corners of the arts, and uncover the nuances of cultural and self-management. Whether you're an aspiring musician, a performer, or simply a music lover, this podcast offers something for everyone. Dear Mariela, I'm so pleased to have you on my Piano Fortissimo podcast. Your sessions during my cultural management studies at the Vienna Music University have truly been a highlight, so it was only natural to ask you to join this episode.
Thank you, Alexandra. I'm so glad to be here with you now.
So let's start straight away. My first question would be, what are some common mental health challenges that professional musicians face, especially those related to high-pressure environments?
So there is a great number of musicians, even more when they work independently, who struggle with anxiety, depression, panic attacks, and also other mental health issues. Described in autobiographies and films, we all know about artists like Amy Winehouse or Kurt Cobain, or classical musicians like Robert Schumann or Gustav Mahler, and many others. Another mental health issue is addiction. It's really common in the artistic world, chosen as self-treatment for sad moments or moments of loneliness. It seems to help in the beginning, but then it's getting worse.
Yeah, I also have a lot of colleagues who are somehow always trying the beta blocker. Mm. And this is something quite normal, although if you read the leaflet, you wouldn't really want to try it just like that, just for calming nerves.
Yeah.
But this is an issue, and it's not really addressed in the music education.
It's in the dark. It lies in the dark, but it's really common.
And also nobody speaks about it because it's something, like you said, in the dark, and it's not something musicians or artists or professionals are wanting to put it out there.
Yeah. And so I'm glad that we speak about other possibilities, how you can get out of this without beta blockers.
How does the lifestyle of a musician, constant practice, touring, etc., contribute to feelings of anxiety or burnout, or even more depression and so on?
The irregular lifestyle, the irregular working times, irregular payments, all of this make it difficult to stay calm and in peace. Touring, late nights on stage, deprives artists from cozy moments at home with family and friends. They miss their partners. So those are points, and other points like discrimination, sexual harassment, bullying cause distress. And there is a lack of support, what I often hear from people who come to my praxis. They are asked to work for free or for a small amount of money, and this makes artists feel devalued and lowers their self-esteem, mostly in the beginning also. The constant practice, the high expectations, together with pressure, leads to that stress. And when it comes to such an overload, when artists burn for their work, a burnout might be the result. Artists are often emotional, sensitive, and vulnerable. That's why the audience adores them. But this means also often a higher sensibility, for example, on stage.
Mm-hmm. Stage fright is something almost every performer deals with. Could you explain what happens neurologically when we experience stage fright?
People on stage fear that the audience might be negative or even hostile. It's in us. Yeah. So they have a feeling of being in danger, like people in the past when they stand before a big animal. So it's really, you can compare it to that. So the body reacts with shaking, sweating, a dry mouth. They might feel nauseous also on stage. During stage fright, the whole system is in fight or flight mode. So they wish to escape, to run away, or to avoid it. What happens in the body is that there is a hyperarousal response of the body's autonomic nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
There is a powerful burst of adrenaline coming into the body, and it released right into the bloodstream. And that means high alert to the body. So it's this adrenaline, and in the same time, also the hormone cortisol is released. And both of this makes us really alert, and we concentrate on what we are doing. So the body tries to help us in that moment to concentrate on our work. So it's a good thing. Yeah? We don't think about eating or drinking or being sick or whatever. Yeah. So we are fully concentrated. So it's okay to have it in that moment for a short moment. But if it's not just a short moment or a short period of time, when it's going on and we have it most of our times, then it causes anxiety and frustration, ongoing stress, and then it harms our body and it has really a bad impact on our overall health.
Which is also strange because you work so much for that particular moment and mm-hmm. then you actually want to,
to go away. When people ask me about stage fright, the first thing in my mind is it's good to have another mindset, not to think that stage fright, it's really a bad thing. Because stage fright is also a good thing for us to concentrate in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be too bad, or it shouldn't be that you can't sleep then the night before or so. Yeah, but to have it a bit or to have it in that moment is A, normal, and B, also good to concentrate on your work.
Mm. I think it comes from the fact that we are so depending on that particular performance, which could be decisive for your future.
Yeah.
And so we're in the spot of like, mm-hmm. you know, you think that's the last one you're having.
Yeah.
And it has to be the best.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, there is a lot of pressure. And so I think it's also really important to have overall a calm state of mind so that you might have stage fright in that moment, but that you can handle it, that you can find ways how to get out of it.
Yeah. Maybe also a lot of support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the more support you have, support from the outside, but also support from your inner me, when you're strong in your thoughts that it will go well and that it's another step forward.
Do you think this comes from experience in time?
Or is it something you really build up, even maybe you haven't had so many performances and you haven't had like really bad experiences which you have overcome?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I think it comes, you have a good feeling when you think about, okay, this was so bad, but I still
mm-hmm.
managed
mm-hmm.
through.
Yeah.
But some of us, maybe we don't have so many experiences. And
I think that it's also experience, and that mostly when people are getting older, that it can get less, yeah, but not by everybody. I also heard about people where it's getting more, yeah, but the experiences, those thoughts of and beliefs that you managed it before can calm you, can give you a better, secure feeling on stage. And I'm really sure that you can also learn it to calm down, that there are possibilities to calm down.
To switch your mindset.
Yeah.
To change your mindset.
Yeah, to learn it. And what I think is that you can't change that there is anxiety or stage fright, like blushing or arriving, but what you can learn is how to handle it and what happens then in your brain, that those crazy monkeys in your brain calm down and mm-hmm. that you have another nicer feeling. And in the same time also, because you said before, some people have bad memories from moments on stage. But even when you look at those bad moments, you can think, yeah, but you did overcome
mm-hmm.
and you managed to go through, and now you're strong enough to go again on stage. And the important thing is to stand up again and to continue.
To eat again.
Yeah.
I was thinking now that it also comes from generations to generations, like how you were brought up, how what you saw in your parents, and how you give it to your children. Because I observe myself how I handle stress, and I somehow see the same pattern in my children. So we have to be double careful.
Yeah, and you know that your children learn from you. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So. Human growth is about learning from others, and we learn a lot of good things from our parents, but we also learn those things we sometimes think, oh my God, maybe I can do this differently and I can learn of that. Yeah. So we're here really close to the place where Freud had his place in Berggasse. And I often tell my patients, so Freud was so sure about all the failures of mothers. But I think mothers are really, really important, but it's not their only work, what they do, what come out then with children. So there are a lot of other people who are important.
And inputs.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
What are the early signs that a musician should watch for in order to recognize performance anxiety before it becomes really overwhelming?
First of all, I think it's really important to look for those early signs, and that you know about your needs, and that you act preventatively, and that you react quickly if it's getting too much. So it's good to know yourself. You can ask yourself questions like, how do I feel? What doesn't feel good? Where in the body do I feel a difference? I have often headaches, or often people tell me that they can't breathe. So this moment.
Or they breathe too fast.
Yeah, or breathe too. This is also when people are stressed, normally it's breathing too fast, yeah, don't take the time to breathe. Some feel muscle tension, yeah, so like in the back or shoulders, or they have a sore throat. So it's important to know about yourself, when do you feel that, in which moments, and how can you handle to change that?
What role does mindfulness or meditation play in helping musicians cope with performance anxiety? Do you have any specific techniques you can recommend?
Mindfulness and meditation are really helpful on the long run. Important, you also have to practice it before. So when? I often ask people, what do you think? When should firemen exercise? Alexandra, when do they exercise?
I don't know that they will have to exercise in advance, but well, in their mind.
Yeah, they have to do that in advance. When I ask people really quickly, often they answer, when there is a fire. But this is definitely too late. Yeah. So people think about meditation or mindfulness in the moment of high stress. But you should do those meditations and mindfulness exercises before. You should really train them.
Before the fire.
Yeah, before the fire. Yeah, before the burnout. Yeah. So it's good to really exercise it before. So you train the mindfulness, you train to meditate, you train to be in the here and now. That then in this moment when you need it, you make and you have your mindfulness. Other helpful techniques are the progressive muscle relaxation from Jacobson. You can also train this in advance. And
this is like autogenous training, or this is something else?
It's something else. The muscle relaxation from Jacobson, you learn to actively release muscle tension. So from you do it like you start with your hands and your arms and the whole body and feet and legs and also head, parts of the head. Mm-hmm. And it's always that you have the tension, you go into the tension, then you hold the tension.
You actively then go
you actively,
tension.
Yeah. Okay. Then you release, mm-hmm. and then you feel after that the release of the tension. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you go from one part to the other, the whole body. So it's a really active way of a really active technique.
But this could be done everywhere, like
you
even
could
in
do
the
this,
tram.
Yeah, you could do this in the tram. I mean, you could do this lying on a bed, but you can also do it sitting
on
a chair. You could do it on the way. Mm-hmm. Some people prefer that to the autogenic training. The autogenic training is really a mental training. Mm-hmm. Here you're working with your mindset and with your brain, and it's the thinking about warmth and the relaxation, and it's also in six parts. But this is really a mind training. But the other thing from Jacobson is really an active training. Yeah, the autogenic training, there you learn to deal with these bodily perceptions of warmth and heaviness also. And you have those self-suggestions. So I wouldn't say one is better than the other, but it's a different way. And some prefer to do something, and some prefer to think about things. Another also helpful technique is from Jon Kabat-Zinn. It's a molecular biologist, and he invented the mindfulness-based stress reduction. It's based on Buddhist traditions. This is also really well-known and good technique. With all of those techniques, you encourage the parasympathetic system to calm down. Because when you're stressed, it's the sympathetic system, and here it's the parasympathetic system. And very helpful for everybody and for every moment of your life are all kind of breathing techniques. And there are really easy ones like taking a breath, hold, release. And you can do this for 5 times. Mm-hmm. Or another one who is also easy to learn is you breathe deeply into your stomach, you inhale the energy, and then you exhale to release. Mm-hmm. And you can do this, for
also,
example,
mm-hmm.
also starting your morning, lying in your bed. You inhale, taking the energy, and you exhale and release. Inhale, exhale. It's also a kind of suggestion and
you just have to do it.
You just have to do it, yeah. It's a thing.
It's a commitment. If you want to be better, then you really have to do it.
You really have to do it. And you can choose which is a good moment. Do I start in the morning with those breathing techniques, or do I end my days with it? Or sometimes people also can't sleep at night, or they wake up and you can do it at that moment. It's a really good thing also when you have those monkey mind head and thoughts coming through. And so if I think at many women your age who have a profession and children and a lot of work and think about new ideas and new things to come. And so, yeah, some wake up at night and say, I have to do this. I don't have to forget for my son to prepare his sweatshirt or something. So a good thing for those thoughts is to have a paper on beside your bed and to write down that you don't have this in mind. So like, I have to do this and I don't have to forget. But if there are other thoughts turning around, it's really good to have those exercises, breathing techniques, autogenic training, what you can do. And if you like the autogenic training, it's in 6 steps. So you also have to count and to think of what was the first step, the second step, the third step.
Calming your mind.
Yeah, you're calming your mind, and in the same time, you can't think about, ooh, what will I do on stage or so. So this is also about, or the breathing techniques. When you think of, I do the inhale, exhale like 6 times, you have to think, okay, first time, inhale, exhale, second time, inhale, exhale. So you can't think at the same time of other things. Or if you have those thoughts, a good thing also when those thoughts come to imagine they are like clouds on a blue sky and the clouds of your thoughts are coming by, but you let them fly away and come back to your autogenic training.
You choose to let them away. Because I give you an example, which I'm sure many of the audience, especially musician audience, can relate to. I mean, today you can play with an iPad where you have your score. Thank God this is an incredible improvement for us, pianists, because pianists have always played by heart. But I can tell you that many, many, many colleagues, after so many weeks or months of work, of practice, they have that panic feeling before going on stage, not even knowing how that piece or concerto starts. And that moment, it's a swirling, crazy moment where you know you cannot go back, you have to go. But you really don't know how it starts. How do you, what do you do? Because this is a second split and the music starts immediately and you really have no idea. It's like a total blackout.
The thing is, all those thoughts are in your mind. So it's mind work. And it reminds me like, you know, birds who sit in trees or and who hold in your hair. And the idea is to let those birds fly away, that they don't keep sitting on those branches, yeah? To leave them, to let them go, to go into a feeling of, I know this thought, I trust in myself, I did it so many times, I will do it in a good way. So leave those thoughts, maybe also to welcome those thoughts and say, okay, I know you thought, you're my inner part who reminds me that this is really an important moment for me and that I have to concentrate and that it's important to rehearse. So thank you for reminding me. But now you can go away, fly away. Crazy monkeys, look for another place to play. Yeah. So I do my breathing techniques. I come back to my autogenic training. I do all those things which are good for me.
Mm-hmm. This is a theme which only with a few musicians, because this is another topic. Musicians mm-hmm. don't really talk with each other. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying with this podcast to really break this mm-hmm. because it's so important. But there are many. There is a lot of resistance and shame towards mm-hmm. these subjects. Mm-hmm. I've been talking to somebody in this field, and she said something which changed for me mm-hmm. completely. Mm-hmm. She just said, the moment you go on stage, you imagine yourself, you switch the lights on. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, you're on. Mm-hmm. There's no going back, but there's mm-hmm. not a negative feeling. Mm-hmm. It's just that that's the spot. I'm here, focus mm-hmm. and deliver. Mm-hmm. And then switch it off, go home and do your mm-hmm. normal chores and family life. Mm-hmm. But the moment you think about that switch, mm-hmm. you're professional. Mm-hmm. And to me, it really works. Mm-hmm. Although it's such a simple, mm-hmm. just a thought. So mm-hmm. it proves that mindset is, something very powerful.
Yeah, mindset is the most powerful thing we have. And when you told me that, I had to think in two ways. One thing is, it is so important to talk with others. And I think you're working alone on stage. And there are also others who work alone on stage. I truly believe that it's so important to share those happy moments and those successful moments, but also to share the fear and the anxiety, which could also be there. And it can be so nice, and people feel so much better when they hear from others, oh, I know that. Yeah. I know that moment. You're not alone in that moment. You may be now alone on stage, but we all feel with you. I would feel the same when I would sit on that chair in front of that piano. Mm. So it's so important to talk to others. And the other thing, I also remember a client who came to me and she said, okay, I just think like, you know, the place where you switch the light mm-hmm. on and off. So, and she really went to the thing and she made light on, light off, light on, light off. So to have this in mind, I can do something. This is what's so important. Mm. What fear is about mostly, I can't do anything. So like, I'm a victim in this moment, but you're not. I truly believe that people can change things and that they can change their mindset.
I think it's also good to know that everybody cooks with water.
Yeah, sure. Everybody cooks with water. Yeah, even if it's then a great meal, but it's water.
How does stage fright differ from regular anxiety, and what strategies can musicians use to manage it in real time before or during a performance? This is so important. Mm-hmm.
Stage fright or performance anxiety is a subtype of social anxiety. So when you have a social phobia, you avoid almost every situation with others. So stage fright occurs just in certain moments. So this is a big difference. Really, really important is preparation, practice, rehearsing. So like for you or your students, Alexandra, fundamental work on your instrument, on the piano, is so important that you know you can do that. So many artists prepare their works, but what they sometimes forget is also to prepare for the whole situation. Maybe you can change a bit with your seat or the place, or how you come into the stage, how you leave the stage, where you will stand when you talk to others, and also to prepare. I think also many artists think about, what will I wear in this moment? How will I have my hair? And some say, yeah, but it's not so important, it's about the music. The most important thing is the music. And The other thing which is also important is, do I feel safe and do I feel well on this stage? And so also what you are wearing or how your makeup is can be part of it, if you feel secure or not secure, or if you have problems on stage, or if you don't have problems on stage because there is like hair falling in your face, or there is something on your clothes which doesn't feel fine. So these are also important things to think about before. So when you rehearse or when you prepare also for difficult moments. So like there was this Demosthenes, the ancient Greek, and he was talking to in front of the sea with stones in his mouth to have a good articulation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have really also difficult moments to rehearse. Maybe also to play in front of others before, that it's not just the first moment then where others listen to you and you don't feel fine because there is somebody there. The other thing is also look for your well-being. Have a good sleep, rest before, healthy food, drink enough. We spoke about that before, Alexandra. Breathe deeply. Being on stage can be either challenge or threat, but you also decide how you go into that. You have the possibility to make it a good moment or to feel stressed because you're hungry or thirsty or you don't like your dress anymore at that moment.
Mm. Or your zip is broken and you still have to go.
Yeah, you have to go.
Many times. No, that's very interesting and very helpful. In time, I have developed some kind of my strategy is routines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do the same thing. I eat the same thing before a concert. It's like I'm like a machine.
Mm-hmm.
I always eat pasta pomodoro, no matter what, because I know this is safe for me and I feel good and nothing can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And another example is when I had an important concert for 5,000 people, which made me in advance very anxious. I put myself pictures of that concert hall in my entire home. Mm-hmm. Just to see, okay, when I see that picture, I'm not getting anxious
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel comfortable. And the moment the concert arrived, I felt like, oh, mm-hmm. finally, mm-hmm.
you
I'm
did
here.
It. Yeah.
So I think there's also some helpful tools to take on.
Yeah, it sounds really helpful. Yeah. Mm. And it's right, this in those magic, special moments, don't try something new before. In these moments, you have to feel safe and secure. It's this quietness you take with you on stage. But like you said, you like to eat pasta, and you know that you like pasta. If you eat something before and then your stomach is grumbling at the moment, all those rehearsal times and everything, bad. So be on the safe side for this moment, and after the show you can eat and drink and do whatever you want.
But then there are also unexpected moments when, for example, it's so hot on stage that you have sweat all over, which goes beneath your lenses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, joy. Mixed with makeup. Mm.
Oh, great.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
Dripping on your dress. Mm. But then you have, in those adrenaline rush, because you're aware of this,
mm-hmm.
you have to, ignore and do the best you can.
Yeah. And this is also something we can learn. So I remember my yoga teacher, and we once had yoga outside, and there were a lot of flies and mosquitoes. And she said, don't worry about those mosquitoes and flies. Just stay calm and do your thing. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. But you can really learn to let them sit on your hand and
let
do your
them
thing.
Eat.
Yeah. I'm not so sure about the mosquitoes. I have to admit that.
So we've come to this question: how can professional musicians create a healthier relationship with their audience to reduce the fear of judgment or failure on stage?
I think that it's important to think about the audience in another way. At most music performances, the audience has chosen to attend and wants to enjoy the music. So they are predisposed to think favorably about the performers on stage.
Something we always forget.
Yeah, don't forget that. So they paid money, they took the time, they really want to enjoy it. So for musicians, I would suggest connecting positively to the audience and think about that. They are like friends, family. They want to have a nice evening. They want to enjoy. They really want to listen to you at the museum, at Heidi Horton, what's happening next, what I heard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful. For musicians who constantly face high stakes performances, what are some daily habits or routines they can develop from your point of view to build resilience against long-term anxiety?
First, I mean, I have the impression that I tell it again, but the first thing is that you define your state of mind. So have a clear vision of realistic goals. Stay true to yourself. Don't mind what people would say. Believe in yourself. It is good to remember success in the past. Concentrate on that. All those moments on stage you loved, the applauding of the audience. Be resilient. Think positively. Accept situations as they are and look for ways out and look for solutions instead of problems. Embrace changes. So even if it's hot and it's running down your cheek, yeah, so okay, but I am able to play this and I will do this also with wet cheeks. And what's also important is to set clear boundaries. This is really important if you fear to have a burnout. So it's important to feel in your inner, what do I need and what is not good for me at that moment. So this is the state of mind, but then really exercise self-care. Look for enough rest. Plan breaks. So sometimes when people are really emotionally involved and are happy about doing something, they go on and on and on and on. So really plan those breaks. Think about eating healthy food in between. So maybe the pasta before you play, but before to have good food and fresh water, seek fresh air, enjoy the sunlight whenever the sun is shining, spend time in nature, swim in the water or sit near the water. This has also a calming effect on us. Creativity is a resource. I mean, you are an artist, but there are also other ways of creativity. So sing, dance, draw, cook a good meal if you like to cook, learn new skills. All of this is good for our well-being. Look for moments to laugh. Laughing is so important. It's a lot of great hormones releasing, we release in moments of laughing. So enjoy spending time with friends and family. Look for cooperation, what we said before. Also, yeah, look for others, talk to them, share. And something you also mentioned before, rituals, ground us. Mm. So if you have daily rituals, this could be an early morning meditation or yoga or qigong or walks in the woods or in parks, all this could be good for your life and for your well-being. Some people really like to start journaling.
Mm-hmm.
So you could also like have a journal right beside your bed, and when you go into bed, you write down one sentence or even one word you're thankful for that day, something you enjoyed. And then you can do this for a week, and you can choose the nicest thing of the week. After a month, you could choose the nicest moment of the month. After 12 months, the great moment of this year. And so that reminds you to all the good things happening. Often, and right now also, there are wars, there is climate change, people fear what happens in the world. So it's also important to think about all that, but also about all those nice, lovely, good things happening all around us. Yeah, and it's good to know your happy places. Those happy places can be outside, happy places where you want to return or where you go to. But you can also remind those happy places, like to have them as inner happy places. And you can go mentally to that inner places and enjoy the safety of this special place.
Yeah, I think that's very important because, you know, when you're on a tour or when you're playing with an orchestra, you travel from spot to spot. The orchestra travels by bus. You sometimes have the joy to travel with them, but sometimes you're alone.
Mm-hmm.
You come from spot to spot. They then go home,
mm-hmm.
and you go to your hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really a tough... This is not your happy place.
Yeah. This is the hard moment.
And it's a hard artists. Moment. To be, mm-hmm. And then the next day, a new challenge. Yeah. So I think it's very important to have your happy place with you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a tricky profession.
Yeah.
To adjust to because the solitude is something very big in this.
Yeah. I really also remember Rinald Deppe. I don't know if you had them also at IKM as a professor. We all really miss him. I remember so well when he told me. I said, Mariella, it's so great to be on stage and then you have the applause and it's such a magic moment. And I felt so lonely and so sad when I'm back to my hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody can imagine that. It's such a big change. So you have all those positive feelings. It went well. You had this great concert. People adored you, people said hopefully wonderful, nice things to you after the show, after the moment you played, and then you're back alone in a dark hotel room with a TV as counterpart.
How do you deal with that? And especially it's not only this, I know from my experience that after a really big concert where you know you were looking forward so much to that moment, the next day I feel really blue because it's gone and there's nothing left. You've put everything into it and as if nothing happened.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with the blues post-performance?
One thing is to think also about that it's kind of normal. When we talked about the stage fright and that moment on stage where you had all those, remember, cortisol, adrenaline flushing into your blood, and then it falls down. So it's really biology. It's biology what happens. So with a clear state of mind, you can tell you, Alexandra, this is normal. There is a big change from that moment on stage and the moment now. And then think about all the good things you can do to yourself. You had before this moment on stage, a long time of rehearsing, of preparing, of talking to people, of, be prepared for that moment on stage. So after that, what could be nice for you? Some people like to take a long bath. Some people like to really read a nice book, listen mm. to good music, meet so lovely
allow,
friends.
Allow time to recharge.
Yeah, mm-hmm. allow you mm. to recharge and think then about all those good things that you enjoy. And
no, that's that the, like. Normally not the moment where you think about it. Yeah. You start to have self-doubts.
Yeah. yeah.
And you start to think about, okay, this was incredible and amazing mm-hmm. and so on, but this and that.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not only you feel low, but you feel mm-hmm. also mm-hmm. you have like the mirror mm-hmm. the next mm-hmm. day. Mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. see the things which mm-hmm. were not mm-hmm. as bright as you yeah. thought of in that first moment.
Yeah. I believe that on one hand, it's good to have those good thoughts, and to see all the good things that happened, but in the same times, it's also important to look for all the things which you can improve. Mm. Because otherwise, you might fly away in happy thoughts and really fall down on the hard ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's both important. It's also important to have a realistic check and to plan.
To look into yeah. the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to look into the mm-hmm. mirror. I think it's important to look into the mirror. Mm-hmm. But don't get lost. yeah. So then think of who could be nice in this moment? To mm. whom could I talk or on phone or meet in a nice Austrian mm. or whatever cafe or place mm. or go for a walk and come out of it.
Mm. Yeah, so be good to yourself
yeah.
and nice doses of
yeah.
reflection.
Yeah, both. I think yeah. both is important. Reflection mm. is important, yeah, but mm. don't get lost. Mm.
What would you say to a musician who feels their anxiety is holding back their career progression? When mm. should they seek maybe professional help?
Mm. I think that a real important part in this question of stage fright play also teachers. If you have really strict teachers and you're lacking autonomy and you have teachers who set challenges too high, this brings more stage fright. So it's important that artists have enough resources to meet the demands of the challenge. So look for your teachers if they are really good for you. Mm-hmm. If they are really good for you. If you have good teachers and you still feel held back and anxious, then look for confidential counseling. Or if you can't sleep, if you feel depressed, some really don't want to live anymore, or they are addicted, then really look for professional psychotherapeutic mm. help. The most important thing is you're never alone. There is help outside. There are people outside who can help you to go through. Hmm.
Do you have any advice for younger musicians or professionals, because this can be not only for musicians, on how to mentally prepare for the rejections or failures that come with pursuing a career in music?
Hmm. Younger musicians are artists, as all of us, struggle with rejections. As human beings, we need others right from the beginning of our lives. So first to feed us and to care for us, to talk and walk, and we learn to communicate. So when others reject us, it can have so many reasons. Feedback tells us something about us, but at the same time, a lot also about the one who gives that feedback. How was their day? What do they like or dislike? Maybe the other person had a sad day, and they react or talk that way because of their own issues. You never know. It's one possibility to see this situation this way, to hear your music. But it's not the only one way. So this is one thing I would tell younger musicians. For artists, it's important that the performance is meaningful to them. So it helps when it's also valued by others. But it's important that this music means something to you. That's also why music instruction should, as any instruction, motivate. intrinsic motivation, so your own motivation, your decision for your work and life is important. What you feel, what you want counts. As we are not artificial, we can fail. I mean, that's human. But the thing is not to stop there, to go on, learn, do it again, and this time make it better. I'd also like to tell young artists, don't get lost when something went wrong. See it as a part of your way. And also, it's not all yours. I don't think that this sentence, I can do it all on my own and it all depends on me, is right. It makes a lot of pressure. There are also other limiting factors. Sometimes it's luck and sometimes it's a lack of resources. It's a lack of chances. It's good to have a realistic view. It not only depends on you and what you did. And so self-reflection can be helpful, but sometimes it's also harming. Hyper-focus, so just focusing on what you did and this moment, this failure is too much. So then it's time for this reflection, yeah, not to think about it. And to get out of it, it's good to focus on everyday life. So like, wash your dishes, yeah, do the laundry, go and buy food or cook. So to get grounded again to what happens right and now, and next day will be next day, next time on stage will be another time. This is the past and now is now, and go for a good future.
Yeah, that's great advice. I think it's also something, I mean, when we should also differentiate between a bad moment, which was depending on you traveling all the time, being tired. This is something you cannot adjust or change, or the instrument you're playing on is not the best, and something the audience might never know. Sometimes you're not even allowed to say that instrument was really bad, but I did my best and that's the outcome. That you cannot reveal this information. So, yeah, I think being good to yourself is important.
Yeah, and it's not just you. I mean, there are so many factors also who decide if moments are a success or not, or if you even have the chance to be on that stage.
Fear of failure can be so paralyzing for many musicians, especially those in competitive environments. How can they overcome the perfectionism that often contributes to this fear?
People with control issues, fear of failure, need to be liked, they suffer more under anxiety and other mental health issues. It paralyzes, as you said. That means it stops us to continue. These are always important signs for a change. Maybe it was too much for a day. Maybe you forgot about the breaks. Maybe you didn't ask for help. So searching for the perfect, the one and only way, causes a lot of stress. But I can understand that in situation with a lot of competition, as you said before also in our talk, it's not easy to accept this. But for your whole life, for your health and for good relationships, it's important to develop a tolerance for ambiguity, for ambivalence, for complexity. Psychotherapy can really be helpful to look for reasons for your way of thinking. And these are the good news, our brain changes our whole life. So even if you are not able right now to overcome failures, you can definitely learn to change that.
What are the long-term effects of ignoring performance anxiety, and how can they manifest in both professional and personal life?
Ignoring anxiety leads to a high amount of stress. So body and brain show the result of an unhealthy life. So also there are now a lot of people in science who look into the brain, so the psychoneuroimmunology. It all shows that stress leads to several severe health issues. So like for right now, we have autumn fitting to this season. They found out that under stress, virus infections have easier access to our bodies. Is also a lack of concentration, days of illnesses get more and more. Relationships suffer when people are stressed. So it's important to look for that, and dysfunctional ways of dealing with stress can be addictions of all sorts, as we started our talk at the beginning, drugs, drinking abuse, and in the moment it's a release, yeah, to some people. They feel well, but on the long run, they cause a lot of problems, health problems. So one really important sentence is being egoistic in a healthy way, looking for your stability, looking for your health, is not narcissistic, but important for your work and for your life.
And last but not least, how can one transform the negative thoughts and nerves into a positive, motivating outcome?
There is no miracle cure, not one single strategy. I'm always looking at my place if I have a magic wand to like, solve all the problems. But what I found out is that there are many ways to overcome fear, different ways to handle stress. But everybody has to find their own way. And important again, you don't have to do this alone. Take a sparing partner on your side. Accept help. And there is also art inspiring. So music stimulates our brain. The feel-good chemical dopamine is released. So let's use this also for good transformation. Let's look for lovely music, as we are really thankful to you, Alexandra, and other artists who gives us this possibility also to change our state of mind.
Thank you so, so much for such an inspiring discussion. It's a joy, and I learned so much from all of this, and I hope our audience as well, and it's been a pleasure, and I'm very grateful to have been here.
Thank you, Alexandra, that you came. It was also for me a pleasure to talk to you. And I wish you and all your listeners stay curious and learn more and enjoy your day.
Overcoming performance anxiety is a journey, and Mariela's advice will surely resonate with many of my listeners. Remember, you're never alone in facing these challenges, and there are tools and strategies to help you thrive on stage. My listeners, if you found this episode helpful, feel free to share it and connect with me on social media, on the Piano Fortissimo podcast account, or Alexandra Silocha on Instagram and Facebook. Until next time, keep practicing, stay grounded, enjoy the music, and don't forget, worry less and let the music flow. Thanks for listening. This was Alexandra Silocha from Piano Fortissimo. Don't forget to subscribe, share with fellow music enthusiasts, follow us on your favorite social media, and most importantly, worry less and let the music flow.